It's pretty wild out there right now.
Yeah.
Housing costs are just nuts. And trying to find like a decent place to live,
Totally.
that's like winning the lottery
Oh,
sometimes.
for sure.
So it really got me thinking,
Yeah.
are there any places out there actually like
Right.
trying to do something different to like make things better?
Yeah, you actually sent over some information on this new law in
All
Wisconsin,
right.
Act 16,
Yeah.
and that's trying to tackle this head on.
Yeah, that's exactly what caught my eye about this.
Yeah.
It's not just like
Oh.
tweaking little things around the edges.
Yeah.
This seems like a pretty big swing.
It does.
So we're going to deep dive today into Act 16
Okay.
to really understand like what it actually does,
Okay.
how it might actually impact housing development, and what it tells us about the bigger picture of housing policy.
I think that's a great approach.
Yeah.
It's definitely complex, but by breaking it down,
Right.
I think we can really see what the potential impact could be.
Well, and you know one stat that just blew my mind. Did you know that government regulations can add almost 41%
Wow.
to the cost of multifamily housing?
That's a lot.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's like almost half your rent
Right.
going straight to paperwork.
That's right. And it's not just multifamily.
Oh, really?
For single family homes, it's almost 24%.
Wow.
So these regulations, while important for safety and quality,
Sure.
they can really add up
Yeah.
and contribute to that rising cost of housing.
So Act 16 is trying to change the game. From what I gathered, it's got a few big goals: making the approval process more predictable for builders, giving them a way to fight back if they think they were unfairly rejected, and limiting who can sue to stop a project.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's about streamlining that process and making it easier to get new housing built.
Okay, so let's break down one of the most interesting parts of Act 16. It's called mandamus. And honestly, when I first saw that word, I thought it was some kind of exotic lizard.
Well, it's definitely a powerful tool for developers.
Okay.
Imagine a scenario where a builder has followed all the rules,
Okay.
dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, but their project still gets rejected by the local government.
Oh, wow.
Maybe because of pressure from like a group of vocal residents.
The classic not in my backyard situation.
Exactly. With mandamus,
Okay.
the developer can go to court and say, "Hey, I did everything right.
Right.
This rejection doesn't make sense."
Wow.
And the court could actually order the government to approve the project.
Wow. So it's like a legal trump card for developers.
You could think of it that way. It's about making sure the rules are applied fairly
Yeah.
and giving developers a way to challenge decisions that they believe are unlawful.
So even with this mandamus thing,
Right.
Act 16 doesn't just give developers free rein.
Right.
It actually gets pretty specific
Yeah.
about who can actually challenge a project, right?
Bruh. Absolutely. It's not like anyone who just doesn't like the look of a new building
Right.
can just file a lawsuit.
Yeah.
The law narrows it down to a few specific groups.
Okay, so walk me through this. Who gets to raise a red flag?
First, you have the applicant themselves, which makes sense.
Right.
Then there's anyone who owns property directly affected by the project.
Okay.
Think someone whose house is right next door.
Got it.
But then it gets interesting.
Okay.
Someone can challenge a project if they can prove they'll experience personal and distinct damages.
Personal and distinct damages.
Yes,
That sounds pretty serious.
it does.
So what actually qualifies?
It has to be more than just a general dislike of the project
Right.
or a worry about property values going down.
Okay.
Think of it this way. Imagine a shop owner whose storefront would be completely blocked by the new development,
Okay.
losing a ton of foot traffic and business.
Yeah.
That could potentially be considered personal and distinct damages.
So it's raising the bar for what counts as a legitimate reason to block a project. It's like Act 16 is trying to strike a balance, right? Giving people a voice, but also trying to prevent a small group from derailing something that could benefit a lot of people.
Exactly. And that tension between individual concerns
Right.
and the need for more housing is at the heart of a lot of these debates.
Yeah.
It's a tough needle to thread.
For sure. Okay, so we've talked about how Act 16 helps developers challenge rejections. But what about getting projects approved in the first place?
Yeah.
That's where zoning comes in, right?
Right.
And I hear Act 16 shakes things up there, too.
You're right. It does.
Okay.
Specifically, it eliminates the need for a supermajority vote to change zoning for residential projects.
So for those of us who don't speak zoning,
right,
break that down for us.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean?
In the past, changing zoning often required a supermajority vote.
Okay.
More than just a simple majority. So even if a project had like a good amount of support, a small group of opponents could potentially block it.
Okay.
Act 16 gets rid of that requirement for residential development.
So let's say a developer wants to build apartments on land that's currently zoned for single-family homes.
Okay.
Under the old rules, even if a majority on the city council supported the project, a small group of really determined neighbors could block it.
They could.
But Act 16 changes that.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It makes it easier to get projects approved that might have been stalled before.
But this is where I start to wonder about unintended consequences.
Okay.
Changing the rules this much.
Yeah.
It feels like there could be some downsides.
Right. You raise a good point.
Yeah.
Does this mean less community input overall?
Right.
Could it lead to projects getting rushed through
mm-hmm.
that might have negative impacts on existing neighborhoods?
Right.
These are definitely questions worth considering.
It seems like Act 16 is a willed attempt to solve a real problem, but it also brings up a lot of questions.
It does.
About how to balance the need for more housing with the concerns of people living in these communities.
And that's what makes this such a fascinating case study.
Yeah.
There's no easy answer.
Right.
And it will be really interesting to see how this plays out in Wisconsin.
Yeah, definitely a lot to unpack here.
There is.
I'm really curious to see, like, who is really pushing for this kind of change.
Right.
I mean, Act 16 seems to make things a lot easier for developers.
Well, we do have some interesting information in the sources you provided.
Okay.
You included some excerpts from an advocacy digest
published
by the Wisconsin Builders Association.
Got it.
And it looks like they were pretty instrumental in getting Act 16 passed.
Okay, so not exactly an unbiased party then.
Right.
But they do make a compelling case about how all these regulations can really drive up housing costs.
That's true. And it's important to remember they're not saying they want zero regulations. It's more about finding a balance between ensuring safe and well-built housing and preventing the kind of bureaucratic overkill that just makes everything more expensive.
It's like they're saying, look, we want to build.
Right.
But you're making it so difficult and costly that it's almost impossible.
And that lack of new housing can have ripple effects throughout the entire economy.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. If people can't find affordable places to live, they might have to move away.
Right.
Businesses might struggle to find workers.
Right.
And overall economic growth could be stunted.
It's amazing how these things are all connected.
It is.
Okay, so we've talked about the mandamus provision.
Right.
And how Act 16 changes the zoning game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it, right?
Yeah, there is.
What about the actual permitting process?
Yeah.
I've heard horror stories about how long that can take.
You're right. The permitting process can be a major bottleneck.
Yeah.
And Act 16 actually includes some provisions aimed at streamlining that as well.
So even if you're just a homeowner wanting to add a deck or finish your basement.
Right.
This law could make a difference.
Potentially, yes.
Wow.
The idea is to make the whole process more predictable and efficient.
Okay.
Whether you're a big developer or just someone making improvements to their own home.
Okay, so we've got changes to zoning permitting and legal challenges.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty comprehensive approach to trying to boost housing development.
It is.
But I'm still curious about who specifically can still challenge a project under Act 16.
Right.
We talked about the personal and distinct damages thing, but there are other categories, right?
You're right. There are. For example, local government units and state agencies still have the right to challenge projects.
Got it.
This is an important check to make sure that new developments align with broader community plans and don't violate any environmental regulations.
So it's not like developers get a free pass to build whatever they want, wherever they want.
Right.
There are still some safeguards in place.
Well, absolutely. Act 16 is trying to find that sweet spot, making it easier to build while still protecting community interests and the environment.
I'm also curious about how Act 16 might impact different types of housing.
Okay.
We've been talking a lot about apartments and single-family homes.
Right.
But what about other options like affordable housing or senior living facilities?
That's a great question. The law doesn't specifically target any particular type of housing.
Okay.
So theoretically, its provisions could apply to a wide range of projects, Whether it actually leads to more affordable housing options remains to be seen,
Right.
but it's certainly a possibility.
It seems like Act 16 could be a real game changer.
Yeah.
But it's still too early to tell what the long-term impact will be.
It is.
It's like we're watching a real-time experiment unfold in Wisconsin.
Exactly. And that's what makes this so fascinating. We don't have all the answers yet.
Right.
But by understanding the details of this law and the context in which it's being implemented,
we can all become more informed participants in the conversation about how to create more vibrant and affordable communities.
And who knows, maybe other states will be watching closely.
Maybe.
And consider adopting similar approaches.
Yeah.
Wisconsin could end up being a trendsetter.
It's certainly possible. And regardless of what happens elsewhere, this deep dive has given us a valuable framework.
It has.
For understanding the complex interplay of regulations, development, and community interests in shaping the future of housing.
It's amazing how much we've uncovered just by taking a closer look at this one law.
Yeah.
It really highlights the power of understanding the nuances of policy and how it impacts people's lives.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to the heart of why we do these deep dives. It's not just about accumulating knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about empowering ourselves to be more engaged and informed citizens.
You know, we talked earlier about those potential unintended consequences of Act 16.
Mm.
And it got me thinking.
Imagine for a second that you're a city planner.
Okay.
Tasked with balancing the need for more housing.
Yeah.
With all the other concerns that come with growth and development.
Sure.
Where would you even begin?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It's a tough job for sure.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you see families struggling to afford rent.
Right.
Young people who can't even dream of owning a home.
Yeah.
And the strain it puts on the entire community.
For sure.
But on the other hand,
right.
You have residents who love their neighborhoods just the way they are.
Mm.
They worry about increased traffic strain, infrastructure, and losing that unique character that makes their community special.
It's like walking a tightrope.
It is.
Trying to find that balance between progress and preservation.
And let's not forget about the environmental impact.
Oh, right.
How do you ensure that new development is sustainable?
Yeah.
And doesn't exacerbate existing environmental challenges?
Right.
There are so many factors to consider.
It can feel overwhelming, for sure. But if we had to pick a starting point.
Okay.
Where would you begin?
Okay.
What principles would guide your decisions as a city planner?
For me, it would all start with community engagement.
Okay.
And I don't mean just token gestures.
Right.
But real, genuine efforts to understand the needs,
uh-huh.
concerns, and aspirations of everyone involved.
So not just listening to the loudest voices.
Right.
Or the ones with the most resources.
Exactly.
But actually seeking out diverse perspectives.
Yes.
And making sure everyone feels heard.
Exactly. You need to create a space where people feel respected, even if they have different opinions.
Right.
And from there, you can start to develop solutions that are both practical and equitable.
Solutions that don't pit development against preservation.
Right.
But find ways to integrate them in a way that benefits everyone.
Precisely. It's about finding that sweet spot where growth is responsible.
Yeah.
Inclusive and enhances the overall quality of life for everyone in the community.
That's a great goal to strive for.
It is.
Challenging, but definitely worth the effort.
It is.
And, you know, maybe by having these conversations and exploring different approaches, we can start to shift the narrative around housing development and find some truly creative solutions.
I think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
We often frame these issues as us versus them.
Right.
But there's so much common ground to be found if we're willing to listen to each other and work together.
And it reminds us that we all have a role to play in shaping the communities we want to live in.
We do.
It's not just about policy decisions made at the state level.
Right.
It's about what we do in our own neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Our own cities to create the kind of future we envision.
Well said. And sometimes just having these conversations.
Right.
And exploring different perspectives can spark new ideas and inspire positive change.
It's so easy to get caught up in the big picture.
It is.
But you're right. It all comes down to people and communities.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, even if Act 16 is successful in boosting development in Wisconsin, does that automatically mean more affordable housing for the people who need it most?
That's the real test, isn't it?
Yeah.
Act 16 might make things easier for developers.
Right.
But whether that actually translates into lower rents and home prices is a whole other question.
It feels like we could do a whole other deep dive.
We could.
Just on the factors that actually drive affordability.
For sure.
But for now,
right,
I think we've got a pretty good understanding of Act 16.
Yeah.
And what it's trying to achieve.
I agree. We've explored the key provisions, the motivations behind it, and some of the potential implications.
Right.
It's a complex issue.
It is.
But I think we've shed some light on it.
And that's what I love about these conversations.
Me too.
We start with a seemingly simple question.
Right.
And end up uncovering all these layers of complexity.
It's like peeling back an onion.
Totally.
There's always another layer to discover.
Before we wrap up, I have one final thought I want to leave our listeners with.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about the roles of developers, lawmakers, and city planners. But what about our role as individuals?
Right.
How can we contribute to creating more vibrant, inclusive, and yes, affordable communities?
I love that question. It brings it home for all of us.
Maybe it starts with simply being more aware.
Okay.
Of the housing challenges in our own communities.
Yeah.
Maybe it's attending a city council meeting or volunteering with an organization that supports affordable housing.
Right.
Even just having conversations with our neighbors about these issues can make a difference.
They can.
The more we understand each other's perspectives, the better equipped we'll be to find solutions that work for everyone.
It's a reminder that we all have a stake in this.
We do.
We can't just sit back and wait for someone else to fix it.
Right.
We all have a role to play in shaping the future of our communities.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Wisconsin Act 16.
I agree.
It's been a fascinating exploration.
It has.
And I hope our listeners have found it insightful and thought-provoking.
Me too. It's amazing how much we can learn.
I know.
Just by taking a closer look at something like a state law.
Yeah. And who knows what other fascinating topics we'll uncover in future episodes.
The possibilities are endless.
Until next time, keep those brains curious.
Yes.
And those conversations flowing.
See you then.